Welcome to the Mama Needs a Moment podcast. We are your hosts, Chrissy
and Cindy,
co-founders of Her Health Collective.
We are two moms obsessed with changing the way moms take care of themselves. We're so glad you're here. Let's dive in. Welcome back to Mama Needs a Moment. We're so glad you're here. If you haven't listened to the previous episode that we had with Sakina, we covered talking to her about her background in midwifery and how she had the privilege of working predominantly in out-of-hospital settings. We asked her specifically about home birth and about midwifery and how they're promising answers towards a future where women receive culturally responsive care. We talked about stigmas attached to midwifery care and home birth. And we also covered the different states and laws that are in those states that support midwives. And she is licensed to practice in three different states, New York, North Carolina, and New Jersey. And she talks about how those states alone differ in their support of midwifery. Sakina Oyuhuru is a dedicated midwife with over 25 years of experience in the field of midwifery. She has an unwavering commitment to birth justice and believes in improving and enhancing the lives of women whose voices often go unheard, particularly within marginalized communities. Sakina is a published author. Her book, Journey to Birth, shares her life journey as a home birth midwife and the myriad of life lessons she's learned along the way. Sakina is the founder of the nonprofit called A Woman's Way, which is a community-based organization whose mission is to offer women, people, families, health information and training aimed at improving both infant and maternal health within African-American communities. She offers personalized mentorship for aspiring midwives who are looking to take their skills and practice to the next level through her A Woman's Way Warrior Midwife Training. And it's really cool how this is spelled. It's a woman with W-O-M-B. M-A-N, Woman's Way Warrior Midwife Training.
So Sakina, the vision of Gentle Spirit Birth is a world where birth is revered as a sacred rite of passage, where the voices of women are heard, respected, and uplifted, and where structures of oppression in maternal healthcare are dismantled.
Yes.
So you're envisioning a future where every mother, regardless of background, receives compassionate, culturally sensitive, and individualized care that empowers her to have a safe, joyful, and empowering birth experience.
Right.
Absolutely beautiful. I'm there. Sign me up. Let's go.
Wonderful. Come on. Let's go.
To bring this vision closer, you have chosen to avoid conventional medical care by offering pregnancy care, home birth, and well women's services outside of typical medical establishments and by not working with insurance agencies. And this is something I know you've spoken to with Cindy about previously and had a great conversation about this. And I know a number of the experts on our directory and that we communicate with are moving away from the insurance model. It's something we're hearing more and more. Wow. I'd love to know your thoughts about this. How do conventional medical care and health insurance agencies contribute to the troubling statistics of maternal mortality?
That's really heavy. So let me take bite size. I want to say that health insurance companies present themselves as barriers to adequate or access to midwifery care. Why? Because they have limiting reimbursement rates for home birth midwives or midwives in general. There's so much bureaucracy around it in terms of pre-authorization, you know. So let's start with my own practice. And depending on where you are, because here in North Carolina, major medical insurance companies do not reimburse for my services. Now, if you called one of them up, they would say, of course we do. But the question is, at what rate and what price? So it's not equitable. And so they may say yes, but it's not at a rate that is, you know, acceptable. So when I was in New York City, that's a different ball game. We did have reimbursement from major medical insurance companies. And they would reimburse us as an out-of-network provider, provided you had a biller who would go through the process in terms of getting approval for an out-of-network provider for an in-network rate. So we had that process, but in North Carolina, there isn't. And let me not say there isn't. There is, but I have not had one to reimburse at an equitable rate. So let me just say that. So that presents itself as an obstacle to accessing midwifery care. I'm not opposed to receiving reimbursement from
of course not.
a medical insurance company. I just want to be paid at the rate equivalent to a nurse practitioner and or obstetrician.
Yeah, and you deserve to be it, absolutely. So how would you say that that contributes to those statistics of maternal mortality?
Because it may lead to when a client knows that they don't have adequate care, they may not get into care early. They may say, well, I'd rather not go to this provider, clinic, community health center, because they feel they're getting suboptimal care. So it leads to delayed entrance into care, which could lead to an illness or condition not being identified early enough, which can lead to poor outcomes.
Yeah. Can you give us a rough estimate in North Carolina what the typical rate coverage is for midwife care? You had said that insurance covers like a small percentage.
Right. Mm-hmm. What would be something like 15% of what you
oh charge, my gosh.
10% of what you charge.
Wow.
So the rate is 3,000 or 7,000. The average is between 5 and 7,500.
Wow. That's very sad. Okay.
It is sad. So, yeah. But New York City, if we're talking about New York City, now I'm going to go out on a limb and say New York State, the state, not just New York City. In New York, the reimbursement was very good. It was like 80 to 90% of your rate. And it was a higher price point. The price point in New York to have a home birth is like $13,000 to $18,000.
Mm. Wow. So of course, yeah. More people are going to utilize that as a resource.
Right, of course. Even Medicaid HMOs would pay for a home birth in New York.
Wow.
Yeah, it wouldn't be at that rate, but so. But in North Carolina, it's a different price point. It sells low. And people
it's
are like,
a different world
to make less. I'm like, well, the cost of living is less.
Sakina, will you please explain ways that you support mothers outside of childbirth with your Well Women services and how you have set up your services so women can afford them even without the support of insurance?
I support women outside of my home birth practice by offering pap smear screenings, breast screenings, family planning, well woman care. And also they can receive IV therapy, nutritional IV therapy. We support women by offering home birth prep classes. We also offer postpartum support groups. This year we're trying to start prenatal yoga classes and womb wellness. So we have a lot of things in store. For those who are not able to afford, we do have a payment plan. We have a payment plan where individuals who are interested, I'm talking about the home birth, no, in practice, you know, prenatal and home birth, retainer fee, then at 28 weeks, they pay another deposit, and at 36 weeks, they pay the balance. And also we offer financial assistance services through a firm. So if you qualify, that company will pay us first and then you pay them, you know, incrementally. Equity Before Birth is another nonprofit organization that will also pay for the birth if you qualify. You have to live in a certain zip code and it's for people of color.
Oh, yeah. That's amazing. That's wonderful that you're offering all of those services too. That's really phenomenal. We've touched on this briefly before. You had mentioned in Finland, how much better things are and the type of care that new mothers receive. I'd love to pick your brain a little bit and just give you full creative license to just go crazy here, okay? Can you see a way in which our country's model of healthcare and insurance could ever be fixed? What would need to happen? Like, how would it work in an ideal world?
Insurance. Yes. Ideally.
And healthcare too, just all mushed together because they're so married in our
country. Yeah. Oh, well, it would take a multifaceted approach, I think. But ideally, we would need a very seamless, integrative system that is very inclusive of midwives, and also a process by which, or healthcare team system, wherever you are, that allows for the transfer of a home birth client into a hospital for, I want to say, you know, more tertiary care. So we need that kind of system to be created. So ideally, it's an integrated system where midwives are respected, honored. There is no hostility. They are respected and received as any other healthcare provider. And insurance reimbursement system that is equivalent to the reimbursement rates that obstetricians receive. Somewhere in there, it doesn't have to be equal to, but you know, 80%, 90%. So, I mean, it sounds like it's an easy fix, at least to me. I mean, because it wasn't always like that in New York State. We were not getting reimbursed when I first started through Medicaid, HMO. It took a conversation and it was all about a friendship. I'm serious. This is how it started. I'm just generally talking because I don't want to name names and people and stuff. Let's say home birth practice A had a client that worked for an HMO, a Medicaid HMO. That is how it started.
Hmm.
That was it. She was a patient of another midwife, home birth practice. And they had conversations about how can we make this work? How can we make this work? And that is what started it. That HMO that she worked for was open to a discussion around reimbursing home birth midwives in New York. That one HMO said yes. And then others started saying yes because they said yes.
That is an amazing story. As you were speaking, right before you started to share that story, I was thinking how much the change would have to come from changing of mindsets. Because you've previously talked about the fear and the lack of knowledge that's involved in this blocking of midwives and this misunderstanding of the kind of care that they provide. And I just found myself thinking that that's probably the biggest piece of red tape. That's probably the biggest barrier is the mindset shift that would need to happen among so many different parties. And the story you just shared is absolutely beautiful because it shows that it can happen with just one person, changing their mind and having their eyes opened, and how that can create almost a domino effect. That gives a sense of hope.
Yeah.
Beautiful story.
And also a biller who's very creative, who's very determined and motivated. So if you have a biller who's really determined and motivated, I'm only speaking from experience from New York, who connects with another creative, open-minded, less, for lack of a better term, customer service agent at United Health. She fosters a relationship in which that customer service agent understands and says, I'm going to try and get this through. And from that person getting it through one time, then that biller calls her every single time. And that biller is the biller for 10 midwives. And that biller always calls that person. That's how we got through. I'm telling you, these are real stories. Because there was a time when I first started that it was a cash-based system. There was no insurance reimbursement, but over time it changed.
This episode is sponsored by Her Circle, the supportive and welcoming community for moms created by Her Health Collective.
Her Circle is a welcoming and supportive community for moms who are passionate about making change for themselves, their families, the community, and the world. Together, this village of women are revolutionizing the way moms take care of themselves.
From an active, private online community and the incredible daily chats hosted there, to our many gatherings, including support groups, Moms Night Out, volunteer opportunities, book club, family adventures, coffee chats, and so much more. We love providing moms the chance to connect and create authentic relationships with one another.
The network of experts in Her Circle are a phenomenal resource and provide great learning experiences for moms on topics ranging from women's health to parenting. We cover the issues that matter to moms the most, from virtual expert Q&As to one-on-one wellness minute consultations and support groups. We are committed to getting moms in front of the information, experts, and support they need most.
To learn more about Her Circle, head to www.herhealthcollective.com. We have a limited number of spaces and the doors only open a few times a year. So be sure to add your name to the no obligation waitlist so you are the first to know when the doors officially reopen.
So originally when midwives were given the privilege to practice, when did it happen that they had to start having obstetrician backing of them? And is that throughout all of the states, or do states have, don't, some states okay. don't have to have that?
Some states don't, like
oh,
a collaborative agreement, right?
Yeah.
So if you want me to date when it happened, I can't remember when, but I can tell you when I first started my home birth practice, I needed to have a collaborative agreement. That's what you're referring to.
Yeah.
That was mandatory. It was legally, you had to have one for that state, for New York and New Jersey. But we fought against it. And now we don't have to have it anymore. We changed that law. The law has changed. We just won in North Carolina. We don't have to have it here either.
Really?
Yeah, that was
last year. I didn't know that.
I'm an independent practitioner. I do not need a physician collaboration. It was senseless. It was like, you guys live in this world of policy and words that someone creates based on their own misunderstanding and misconception.
Right.
Or narrow-minded way of thinking or control.
Yeah, maybe, and it adds control. Bureaucracy on there too, because back 12 years ago when I was pregnant for our 11-year-old, and we were going to have a home birth. I had mentioned this previously. Our midwife lost the backing from her obstetrician because that provider that was backing her got pressure from the board, the medical board. And he pulled his backing on several midwives in the area. And my midwife scrambled and she ended up closing her door. So then that left my husband and I to try to figure out exactly what to do for the birth. And so it does, it adds such
that was
element.
A barrier.
Yeah.
Really, why would one practitioner have control over another practitioner's livelihood, lifestyle? You fought to get your certification and license. Why now I have another professional provider over my ability to practice? Doesn't make sense.
It adds to an element of minimizing your professional criteria. I mean,
right.
Who's
why
to
go
say
to
that?
School, then?
Why are they better? Because they have obstetrician after their name, and you know, it makes me livid to think about it. But
it's about control.
Yes.
And it's also about, you know, who controls
the money.
The money. It's all based in politics. Medicine is all about politics and all about profit. PP. I don't know what the other P is.
Well, and the saddest part is people's lives are being lost because of that. Over the PPs.
Power and politics.
Yeah.
And money. Absolutely. Economics. And so any practitioner that stands in that, in the way of that, controlling that, you know, paradigm oh, we're going to diminish them. You know, we're going to debase them. We're going to show the public how unprofessional they are and inadequate they are. So instill all this fear around all this misconception. And here you go. Now you have the whole society saying, oh my God, no, I don't want to go to a midwife. She doesn't know what she's doing because mm-hmm. of propaganda.
It's good to hear it because a lot of times you can turn your head and just yeah. claim ignorance for it. But once you know, you can't claim that anymore. And so right. it's good to make people aware of what's going on. I yeah. do want to take this and turn a little bit,
sure.
turn it over to your book, the book that you wrote, Journey to Birth, yeah. that's about your life journey as a home birth midwife and the tons of different lessons that you've learned along the way on this journey. You had mentioned that you've gone through lots of different challenges, mm-hmm. which are both joyful and painful. And with most times in life, as we all have been said, the most challenging lessons happen to be the most life-changing and transformative for us, unfortunately, right? Mm-hmm. Will you share some of the challenges that, or a challenge that you experienced over the years, like what you were referring to in your book and how it was transformative for you? I think it's so beneficial for others to hear these moments mm-hmm. in yeah. their lives. Mm-hmm.
Well, I must say there were many. You know, when you're walking this journey as a midwife, you become not only the midwife, but the counselor, an advocate, an activist. It's such a hat that you wear. And so many life lessons that I've learned. A lot of my clients teach me a lot about myself, you know, helps me reflect upon my own self, me, you know, how I show up, how to show up better, how to do things smarter. And how to remain humble. It's like, you don't know it all. You don't really know what you're doing anyway. You know, women know what they're doing. Their bodies know what to do. They know how to birth. You're just a support person. So I'm reminded of that because I'm open to it. And I think that our healthcare system doesn't teach that. There's always some power dynamics going on in the room. Some authoritative, you know, person, you know, it's about me. We don't know how to leave out egos at the door. It's really not about you. It's about the laboring woman. And guess what? She can do this with or without you. That to me is humbling. And that's something we need to remember. The other thing is the humanity and the sacredness around birth. I learned that with every client. And those are one of the most wonderful blessings and lessons, using your eyes and ears and taking yourself out of the damn book, off, stop reading and looking at numbers and statistics and look at the person in front of you. It teaches you that. It's like there's a human being in front of you. This is a family. They're connected to other people, you know, and you are making an impression that's going to last a lifetime. And so that's why it's important to leave your ego at the door and make sure you're not imposing something about your own stereotype or life or your own insecurity upon the family or laboring woman. Those are some lessons I've learned. Also, not so deep, learning two different routes to a patient's home. You got to go in the daytime in the dark. Even when you're not going to do a home visit, just let me go by this house. And then you learn, oh, that's a steep incline, or the curve is, oh, it's pitch black, or, oh my God, there are cows and lambs that you have to contend with. I met in North Carolina. There was a whole different terrain. It's dark.
In New York City, for sure.
Dark as heck. You don't see nothing. And you can't see the numbers on the client's home. So you got to go there in the daytime. And so for me as a city girl, driving is like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. You know, it's like, cause you like the road is dark. So you don't want to hit the oncoming traffic because in North Carolina, those roads and you're going deep into the country is two ways. And then you're trying to look at the number on the house.
It's so distracting. Yeah.
It is. It's like, oh my God, oh my God. And she's, you know, really active. So I learned to tell my doulas, sometimes the doulas would get there first, put your lights on. in the driveway because I can't see. I'm a woman of a certain age. Put your lights on so I could see because I don't want to pull up in the wrong driveway.
So, Sakina, based on what you've just talked to us about the challenges and some of the life lessons that you've learned, what advice do you have for listeners on overcoming challenges? When you got the question earlier today about beating to your own drum, I was like, oh my gosh, this is going to be so easy for her because she's done so many things that are outside the box. She has had challenges that she's overcome. Do you have any words of advice? Anything that you would say to listeners that would help them overcome challenges?
Of course, be accepting of the challenge. You know, accept that it is a challenge and give yourself some grace and try and, you know, be patient. Create three solutions. Breathe. Get counseling. Identify individuals who are doing the work that you do, similar work, and create a support system. But it's all about grace and forgiveness. It's like what you want to receive, you have to give. Challenges are a part of everyone's life journey. How you respond to it is what keeps you healthy and well. How you respond to it. So true. Yeah, be patient with yourself and give your own self some grace.
That's wonderful. Things to use to overcome challenges. Thank you so much, Sakina, for taking the time to be with us today. This was a wonderful conversation and so enlightening in so many different facets. I feel like we dove into so many different little pockets of information. Thank you for taking the time to be with us today and share your passion and your knowledge and just your inner wisdom. You give off a sense of this just inner peaceful knowledge. And thank you for sharing it with us today.
No problem. It was great to be here.
It was such an honor. Thanks, Sakina.
You're welcome.
That was such an interesting conversation. I loved diving into the insurance piece. I have to admit, it's not an area I'm an expert on by any means. When people start talking insurance, I tend to get a little nervous because it's out of my wheelhouse of knowledge. But I know it's such an important piece and it's such an important, I guess it's such an important piece of the puzzle to figure out within our country because it's a block for a lot of people getting adequate care. So this was a really interesting conversation with Sakina. One of the biggest takeaways for me, not necessarily a favorite one, but something that really stuck with me was the inequity between the compensation for midwives from insurance companies between North Carolina and New York were the two examples that she gave. In North Carolina, she said it was 10 to 15%, whereas in New York, it could be 80 to 90%, and they're receiving much higher fees there as well. And that blew my mind. That is a huge difference. Yes. And, you know, having a midwife is an amazing opportunity. It may not be for everybody, but to have that as an option is really important. And that's really limiting the number of people that are able to access that kind of care here in North Carolina. So that really stuck with me. How about you?
Absolutely. That was something that was a staggering statistic. It made me realize just the differences in each of our states. I mean, we're seeing it a lot now where states are having control over their own decisions. And this is one area that it's obvious about the inequitable way that they reimburse for midwives. And it's a huge barrier to midwifery care. And the other thing that stuck out that was no surprise to me, what needs to be reiterated is the huge amount of power dynamics that happen within states and legislature and you name it, which is surrounding money. And a lot of times the result is the care of
absolutely
certain groups of people suffer.
Yeah, it always comes back to power and money.
If you're a Patreon subscriber, we have a really great bonus episode for you. Sakina gives us some feedback on how to be a catalyst for positive change in the world and how to be culturally responsive and sensitive to the diverse backgrounds of all women. And if you are not a Patreon subscriber, we would love to have you. We've enjoyed hanging out with you today, friend. We hope you got to finally enjoy a hot cup of coffee as you listened. Make sure you follow us so you're the first to know when we drop a new episode.
If you've enjoyed your time with us, let us know by leaving a review. We always love hearing from you. Until next time, stay true to you.